Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is April 12th, 2024. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Witch Way Magazine. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "I think that any time of great pain is a time of transformation, a fertile time to plant new seeds." Debbie Ford, and I agree. Whenever you hear people who've had like amazing things happen in their life, it's almost always after a really bad time, you know? All right, so moving into some headlines, I just thought this was kind of a fun one. I try to keep like the more fun for me headlines on Fridays. This is from therap.com. Pedro Pascal says Buffy the Vampire Slayer residual check saved him from quitting acting. Pedro Pascal has become a mainstream star in recent years with roles in franchises from The Mandalorian to Fantastic Four, but he wasn't always in a secure position. He shared in a recent interview with Entertainment Tonight that a residual check from an earlier role on Buffy the Vampire Slayer was once the only reason he was able to pay his rent and not quit acting. Pascal began his ET interview at the SAG Awards with praise for the acting community represented by the awards, where he was honored for his role on The Last of Us. "The community has sustained my life as a professional," Pascal said. "My entry level lasted about 15 years. He continued by listing events in his life that he'd struggle with financially during that time, including how Buffy saved him when he was in a tight spot. Quote, "We're talking about being able to see a doctor, getting sick, getting a surgery, paying my rent when I had less than $7 in my account. And a residual from Buffy the Vampire Slayer showed up and saved the day. And literally is the reason I was able to stay in it and not give up." The actor appeared in the season premiere of season 4 of Buffy in 1999, but one reason the appearance could slip below the radar is that it was before he began going by Pedro Pascal. At the time, he was credited as Pedro Balmaceda. He would later go on to use his mother's last name, Pascal, following her death. In that Buffy appearance, his character Eddie serves as the cute guy who bumps into Buffy as she begins her freshman year at college. She helped Pascal's law student Eddie find his way on campus. They share friendly and slightly flirty interaction as Pascal's Eddie talks about the psychology professor he shares with Summers. It looks like maybe it's the beginning of a new couple for the show, with Eddie getting grabbed by a group of vampires. Yeah. And then Pascal later returns being like as a vampire that Buffy needs to kill. Pascal's past financial struggles have been publicly discussed before, previously by his close friend Sarah Paulson. Quote, "There were times when I would give him my per diem from a job I was working so that he could have money to feed himself," Paulson told Esquire last year. Wow. It's such a feel-good story for various reasons. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, April 12th. The waxing crescent moon continues to move from one topic to the next in Gemini today. Here, the moon squares Mars and Saturn. The Mars-Saturn conjunction can be quite frustrating. When these two malefics meet, the ability to get any kind of momentum going can be a Herculean effort. We may be trying twice as hard to accomplish something that usually takes no effort. With the moon squaring this grumpy duo, we're likely not in the best of moods today. And who can blame you? With every effort stymied, no matter how you approach the problem, this whole deal can easily cause your temper to flare. The stay will be a little easier if you know this blockade is in play. Keep your goals small and give yourself some easy wins. You'll need them today. Your daily moon mantra is, where there is no struggle, there is no strength. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2...
All right, we are back. So Friday is our encyclopedia day. So this is where I open up one of my encyclopedias. This one is Encyclopedia of Occultism and Parapsychology, second edition, letters H through O. And I just pick a random subject in here and we learn something new together. I'm super psyched. Okay. So here we have witchcraft in Ireland. So I think this is an interesting one because it's something I feel like we all feel like we know something about, because that's like what a lot of modern neo-paganism is based off of. But let's find out. In Anglo-Norman times, sorcery was widely practiced, but novices are scarce. It is only by fugitive passages in works of English writers who constantly comment on the superstitious nature and practices of the Irish that we glean any information concerning the occult history of the country. The great scandal of the Lady Alice Keitler shook the entire Anglo-Norman colony during successive years in the first half of the 14th century. Okay, for those of you who don't know, I can tell you because I wrote a book on this. Well, sort of. I wrote The Door to Witchcraft, which I went really hard on my history section, and I had to learn a lot about like early witch trials. So Alice Keitler was kind of the first one to incite a witch hunt. Yes. So we had witch trials previously, and then we had group trials previously, but then Alice Keitler was the first where multiple people were to get this one woman. So Lady Alice Keitler, basically, she was a widow. I think she had two ex-husbands. So she had money and land, and you know how people feel about that. People don't like it. And so all these rumors started that she and her girlfriends would find like lotions and potions and would ride with Diana into the night, and they would have lovers with like demons, and basically they like, we need to get this woman. She has too much money, too much land. So they couldn't find her because all of Alice's friends and like servants wouldn't give her up. So essentially, when they couldn't get Alice, they would just like grab whoever they could. So this led to the first like group kind of witch hunt situation. The party of the Bishop of Ossory, the relentless opponent of Lady Alice, boasted that her persecution, they had rid Ireland of a nest of sorcerers. But there is a reason to believe that Ireland could have furnished numerous similar instances of black magic had the actors in them been of similar rank to the ill-fated lady. That is of sufficient importance in the eyes of the chroniclers. So they're kind of saying they really believe they only went after her because she was kind of a prominent person with money. In this connection, a work on Irish witchcraft and demonology by Mr. St. John D. Seymour in 1913 is of striking interest. The author appears to take it for granted that witchcraft in Ireland is purely an alien system imported into the island by the Anglo-Normans and Scottish immigrants to the north. This undoubtedly is the case so far, as the districts of the Pale and Ulster are concerned, but surely it cannot be applied to the Celtic districts of Ireland. So now they're saying that, like, there isn't witchcraft in Ireland, but it's like the immigrants, the Scottish, brought it there, which we're seeing kind of like the xenophobia here, right? We're seeing the, well, this nasty thing doesn't exist here because of us. Like, the immigrants must have brought it. Tale as old as time, right? Actually, fun fact, part of my family is Scottish-Irish, which are these immigrants. So, don't get us now. Regarding these, Mr. Seymour is silent, but it will occur to many readers that the analogy of Celtic Scotland, which abounded in witches and witch customs, is powerful evidence that a system similar to that in vogue in the Highlands obtained in the Aboriginal districts of Ireland. So they're basically saying, if this existed in Scotland, it existed in Ireland. Get over it. Early Irish works contain numerous references to sorcery and practices that are chronicled in them, which bear a close resemblance to those of shamans and medicine men of tribes all around the world. Animal transformation is one of the most common feats of the witch, which is alluded to frequently in the ancient Irish cycles, and there are a few heroes in Hibernian legend who do not have a fair stock of working magic at their fingertips, wonder-working druids around, too. So there's evidence. Mr. Seymour claims that, and do we like Mr. Seymour? No. We don't like Mr. Seymour. Because he wrote Witchcraft and Demonology, and he's the one being like, we didn't bring this here, it's not from here, so we don't like this game. So Mr. Seymour claims that in Celtic Ireland, dealings with the unseen were not regarded with such abhorrence, and indeed had the sanction of custom in antiquity. He also states that the Celtic element had its own superstitious beliefs, but these never developed in this direction, aka witchcraft. So yeah, now he's saying, like, he's, like, digging his heels in that, like, there is no Irish witchcraft. It's the immigrants. They brought it. And he's being like, yeah, sure. Does it seem like there could be these antiquities and, like, unseen dealings? Sure. But we never would have gone in the direction of witchcraft. So this guy just seems delusional. This is very difficult to believe. The lack of records of such a system is no criterion that it never existed. Amen. They're like, just because you can't find it doesn't mean it's not there. And it would be possible that a thorough examination of the subject would prove that a system of witchcraft obtained in Celtic Ireland and elsewhere, although it may not have been of Celtic origin. So they're like, listen, there's tribes all over the world who have the system. The Scottish who were close to have the system. We possibly have this system. You know, be that as it may, Mr. Seymour's book is the most interesting as dealing with those Anglo-Norman and Scottish portions of Ireland, where the belief in witchcraft followed the lines of those in vogue in the mother countries of immigrant populations. He sketches the famous Keitler case, touching on the circumstances connected with the Earl of Desmond, and notes at the case of Irish prophets who insisted upon warning the ill-fated James I of Scotland on the night of his assassination of Perth. So they even had Irish prophets, but they're like, no, there's no witchcraft. It is not stated by the ancient chronicler quoted by Mr. Seymour from what part of Ireland the witch in question came from. For a witch, Keitler, she undoubtedly was possessed by a familiar spirit named Huthart, whom she alleged had made her cognizant of a coming catastrophe. Mr. Seymour does not seem to be aware of the history of this spirit. He is the Teutonic Hudun or Hildegun, the wearer of the hood, sometimes alluded to as Hecdecan, well known throughout Germany and Flanders as a species of house spirit or brownie. So, yeah. From the most scantily materials, Mr. Seymour has compiled a book of outstanding interest. review that witchcraft trials in the 16th century, the burning of Adam Dube, the Lannister trial of O'Toole and Cottage Green in 1327 for heresy, and passing of the statute against witchcraft in Ireland in 1586, and the prevalence of witchcraft in Ireland during the 17th century is proved by him to have been a very great indeed, but a number of authorities he cites to the existence of sorceress in the Green Isle almost certainly refer to the Celtic portion of it, for example, Rich and Stanihurst. So basically what they're saying is like the Seymour guy wrote a great book with like a lot of evidence and like a lot of history and compiled a lot of research and interest. But his So this is why when you're doing research, you never want to look at secondary sources. So secondary sources are going to be like my book, The Door to Witchcraft. That's a secondary source. I took factual information and I developed a belief theory around it, right? So this is what Seymour did. Seymour was like, look at all this stuff I found and all this evidence and all of these records. And I am going to now say, I'm going to form a theory around it. And my theory is like all of this Irish sorcery must have just came from the Scots, from the Celtics, right? The Celtic Scottish people. So he's like, yeah, sure, there's proof, but it's, you know what I mean? So if you were to like only use this guy's book, you'd be like, well, there are no witches in Scotland. But if you were to look at his evidence, you might come to the conclusion that yes. So everyone comes to different conclusions. And so when you're doing research, you typically want to read a book that, or at least find information that is not coming to their own narrative theory of conclusion. For example, his conclusion is that there's no witches, even though his whole book is full of record that there is. But because his goal is to say there isn't, he is connecting the dots that there isn't. You know what I mean? So it's just a good lesson. And like, we want to form our own conclusions. So human relations with the devil are dwelt upon at length by Mr. Seymour in a racy chapter. Oh my God, is there smut? And we are told how the devil was cheated by a doctor of divinity and raised on occasion by certain sorceresses. Florence Newton, the witch of Yoghull, claims an entire chapter to herself. Oh, he loved her. And worthily for her case in one of the most absorbing in the history of witchcraft. At any rate, whatever her occult power, she splendidly succeeded in seating a whole community by the ears. Ghostly doings and apparitions, fairy possessions, and dealing with the fae are also included in the volume, and Mr. Seymour has not confirmed himself to Ireland, but has followed one of his countrywomen to America, where he shows how she gave employment to the fantastic Cotton Mather. Whoa. So this guy who wrote a book being like, here's all the research I found, which was like incredible research. But he's like, and see all this evidence of witchcraft? I'm going to say no. And then he was friends with someone who employed Cotton Mather, who I'm pretty sure was like the Salem guy. Oh my gosh, these people are all connected. Witchcraft notices of the 17th century in Island Magee comprised of the 8th chapter and the 9th and the last bring down the affairs of sorcery in Ireland in 1807 to the early 20th century. The last notice is that of a trial for murder in 1911 when a wretched woman was tried for killing another, an old age pensioner, in a fit of insanity. A witness deposed that he was holding a statue or figure in his hand and repeating 3 times, I have to kill the old witch. I got power from the Blessed Virgin to kill her. It appears that the witch quoted in question threatened to plague the murderess with rats and mice. A single rodent had evidently penetrated to her abode and was followed by the bright vision of a lady who told the accused that she was in danger and further informed her that if she received the senior citizen's pension book without taking off her clothes and cleaning them and putting them out on her bed for cleaning, she would receive dirt forever and rats and mice. This is not an isolated case. So yeah, basically that like a lot of this.
Wild.
Man. Okay. So I think that's really interesting. One, the fact that like someone went insane and killed like an old lady because she was a witch is like obviously not cool. So now I'm actually wondering if like no, I was like, should I change my mind on Seymour? Was he actually doing like good work here, being like, yes, we have all this, but it's not real. Stop. Like now I'm wondering if he's a good guy. Was he just like, hey, we need to stop this like hysteria. We need to stop killing people in the name of witchcraft. There is no witchcraft. Or was he simply, well, I mean, no, because he was blaming it on the Scottish. So no, he was a bad guy. Like you can't be like, yes, there's witches, but not us. It's the immigrants. That's not cool. Okay, I had a moment where I was unsure, but now I'm sure we do not like him. All right, witches. I wonder if any other podcast has ever had such a discussion about a man who wrote a book so long ago. Anyways, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to Bia Frias, Bia, you magical transcendent kraken. Cat J, you loyal, formidable barn owl. Jess Jensen, you fair, dreamlike dragon. And Alina, you wise, starry-eyed pixie. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. I hope you like these encyclopedia episodes. I do feel like I stumbled around my words because I'm reading so much. I do apologize, but I hope you get it and that like we're having a nice time. Anyways, that's all I've got for you. And we'll talk next week. Actually, next week I should be back from my birthday slash ordaining a wedding thing. So I should be able to update you.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.